I think I remember as a kid, my mother saying, "I could have gotten those clothes whiter." She was a big fan of bleach. So today we begin with sacrifice and then identification. Abraham, of course, offers his beloved son as a sacrifice to God. The gospel reading identifies Jesus as God's beloved son. The two readings together remind us that God offers his beloved son as our sacrifice to God. Christ, our paschal lamb, Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. I am often reminded of the story of Maximilian Kolbe. I'm sure many of you know it. He was a 20th century Franciscan. And when you hear his story, surely you could ask yourself, who would not want to be as lovely a soul as Kolbe was? Who would not want that? The first thing to see is that a sacrifice is a peculiar kind of gift. In the case of ordinary gifts, which aren't sacrifices, the person who gets the gift is the one who benefits from the gift giving. But sacrifice is a different kind of gift. When one person gives something as a sacrifice, however great his gift is, in the giving of it, he receives something of very great value. In the giving of it, he himself receives something of great value. In sacrifice, the gift giver is the primary beneficiary of gift giving. To see this point, consider Maximilian Kolbe, who sacrificed his life for a prisoner at Auschwitz. The Nazis had randomly selected 10 prisoners to die, and Franciszek Gajnowski was one of them. Sorry, Diane. When he was picked out, he cried, "My poor wife, my poor children, I will never see them again." But Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward and offered to take Franciszek's place. Kolbe knew that the selected prisoners would be slowly starved to death in a dark and airless bunker. But Kolbe offered his life for that of his fellow prisoner anyway. Witnesses reported that afterwards, Kolbe prayed and sang hymns until the end, when his voice failed. In his sacrifice, Kolbe became a person in whom the beauty of love shone so brightly that his story now illumines all who hear about it. He gave his life to give life to Franciszek. But he himself received far more than what he gave. Who would not want to be as lovely a soul as Kolbe was? And so God, who lacks for nothing, is glad to have the gift of our sacrifices, not because he gets something great from them, but because we do. Think about that. We are the recipients. We are the recipients in our gift giving. Back to this transfiguration. I remember as a child at our summer home, on stormy nights, I would go out onto our dock and watch the lightning. I was just fascinated by lightning. It was captivating, but only for minute glimpses. Came and went. And I wondered what it would be like to imagine staring at it for a long time. Well, that's not possible because, of course, it would have destroyed my vision. So this transfiguration that we celebrate today, such a contrast, thunderous power, followed so quickly by warmth, love, and small light. It enacted the true contrast between God's transcendent greatness, too much for human eyes, and Jesus' quiet love. What a contrast, too much for our eyes, and then Jesus' quiet love. Jesus absolved disease and crippled legs and unseeing eyes. He is our glimpse of the awe-filled intensity of God the infinite, but through our tiny, finite eyes. Jesus is God and also one of us. He is lightning turned into candle glow. All right, so this is very interesting. But what about Lent and this week's gospel? Well, in this transfiguration, Jesus, who was quiet light, reversed himself and showed up as God, the infinite fire. Again, back to that lightning. Can you imagine looking at it close up for more than a millisecond? But this speculation is kind of appealing, I think, because at the very center of each bolt of lightning is the same stuff that gently caresses our faulty faces and makes them glow. Inside that lightning is the very stuff that caresses our soul. God does not extinguish his own light, but he can filter it and offer it to anyone who will look. He can filter it and offer it to anyone who will look.